Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back, and it is now or never. And I can't tell you how frustrating it is for what it takes to save the Constitution is so simple, and trying to get people to back out of, you know, their, I'll just say, their commitments in their paradigms. In other words, a lot of us, and we're all guilty of this, we're all guilty of swimming in our biases. We're all guilty of, you know, camping in the little campsite that we feel comfortable in. Instead of actually taking time to really go through the alternatives, we just say, you know what, I this is where I started, and for some reason I went down this path, and this is where I belong. And this is, you know, this just makes me feel right inside. There's a reason why we really go out of our way in the groups that I work with. We go out of our way at the very beginning for each group, for each state that we're working in, that we actually kind of walk through the course or the direction of what has to happen in moving forward. And so this is why we talk about the seven paths and so forth. The seven paths being the party, the court, the Article 5 convention, nullification, the sovereign citizen movement, you know, outright revolution, or, you know, just fighting off the evil hordes, you know, because really there's two sides to this. You know, there's the unthinkable revolution, and the leftists are already doing that. And so this is why we kind of go through these. The final, the seventh, the final option is really the only option for us, which is interposition. I want you to think about the word interposition. Go look up the definition of interposition. Interposition is taking direct and immediate action to stop what is happening and to get it, arrest it, and get it into, in this particular case, into compliance, into the framework of the Constitution, and ensuring that the variances, the violations are no longer occurring. In other words, you know, when a policeman or a parent walks into the room and there's just a melee, the parent must interpose. And when we look at the relationships of our government, the federal government is the child government. It is the grandchild government in our relationship of the hierarchy of our republic. We, the people, instituting governments, create our county governments. We, the people, then send delegates from our county to institute our state government. Then we, the people, from our counties, send delegates to the national convention or into the ratification of the follow-on, like what we did with the ratification debates. And so I'm here to tell you folks that we have some clear and very decisive choices we have to make, and we're running out of time. And what really I think everybody is starting to realize, because if you're listening to the conservative entertainers, they're all talking about, you know, Biden trying to make something out of this. I'm going to tell you, the one thing Biden is right on is how divided we are. I look at the conservatives as far more divided, and that is our greatest problem. The leftists are very united. They want to see this nation collapse. And I'm here to tell you, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, they're going to rue the day. The majority of the leftists that think that, you know, collapsing this nation, the majority. Now, there are few that really understand what that means, and they're prepared for those, for the consequences of that. In other words, they're positioning themselves so that they will be on the correct side of the control and tyranny. the majority of the leftists, the kids, the dumb kids, the Bolsheviks in the street are the ones that will just be pushed aside, and they will be running and screaming down the streets, gnashing of teeth and crying and wondering what the heck happened. You know, we wanted to see the Constitution go, but we didn't want to see, you know, our choices. We didn't realize it was going to make this big of an impact. Because all of a sudden, when we no longer have the choice of choosing what we're going to do, and I'm going to tell you that it's going to seem like it's not that big of a deal for them. It's going to seem like that. But all of a sudden, the awakening will come when they realize that there is really no other choice. That they either go hook and crook into down this path of this global government. So we're seeing everything kind of all line up. We've got the digital currency lining up. We've already got the facial recognition. They've already deployed the facial recognition throughout America. If you don't believe me, go check out Reclaiming the Republic, and you can actually find it on our website. Let me, because I'm not prepared, because I really don't sit down and write exactly what I'm going to say today. It's just really some bullets, and my bullets and focus today is really more on dealing with this civil war, this context of what we'll call Biden's I'll just say Biden's State of the Union address. Forgive me. You'll find the information regarding the facial technology, the map of where the camera systems are using facial recognition throughout America. It is on the important information page. Just click on that link. It'll take you to another page that will actually show you a map of America and where all of these systems are being deployed. And right now, so, okay, they can't connect these systems, can they? Absolutely they can. If they can connect to your grid, they can connect to anything on this line. On the internet, it is all accessible. And we've left ourselves wide open. That's the beautiful thing about America, because we're wide open. It's the bad thing, because we're very vulnerable. But the fact of the matter is, getting back to this, this State of the Union address, when I look at how evil is really in a position to, they're desperate to get us across the finish line. And most people think Republican, Democrat, it lines that way, but I don't see it that way. I see it as those who want to actually use tyranny. In other words, those who are willing to violate the Constitution to satisfy their ends, the ends justify the means. And I do not think that we have the right choices in front of us. I do not see a real constitutional president. Now, I know people that are involved in many different campaigns nationwide. I know people in different states that actually are involved in, like, the Trump campaign. And many of them say, you're right on these points. We got to get this. I don't hear a peep. I don't hear a peep other than those interfaces that I have. I don't hear a peep about, why is the Constitution so important, and or helping Trump understand what he could actually do to save America, to save our liberties. I'm not convinced at all, folks. Until those conversations start happening, and until the big expanse of these political elitist minds actually, whether they embrace these things or not, I'm here to tell you this is an indictment. We're actually being used left and right to think, it's the lesser of two evils. When I actually look at where our focus is. Now, the majority of the focus, believe it or not, this is why it's kind of in this stepping stone of the paths. The majority of the focus is at the party level. More and more people are just blindly trusting and praying and hoping that the party will save them. I've proven that the party has been responsible for the deviance of, you know, moving away from the Constitution back to the 1850s. The courts aren't any better. And the courts have actually created themselves a money laundering scheme to where, you know, they just basically shake down America, where they continually get rich and they redefine, they reinterpret, and they change our laws as if they have the authority to do this. Our courts are corrupt. Our parties are corrupt. I don't think there's any rational American out there that can actually say otherwise. So when we look at, you know, the comments, and be honest with you, I'm not going to watch the State of the Union. I don't even watch the news. But I can hear from the saber rattling, from the conservatives out there. They're, oh, well, this is terrible. And they're right. Biden is a tyrant. Be scared. Folks, be scared of where we are. There is nothing good that is going to be coming out of that White House or out of Washington, D.C. George Mason basically stated that because of the exclusive legislation in Article 1, Section 8, giving the federal government exclusive legislation in policing and governing that land. In other words, they can't create a state. They're not to be a state. They will have no representation, but they are responsible for policing the law and order and the civility of that land. Now, they cannot make any laws that actually abridge privileges and immunities of U.S. citizens. So like when they created the law on January 6th, or actually before that, and started enforcing policies and laws that took, you know, the access of the people from the people's house, the Capitol, when they said, you can't come in here, they actually violated the Constitution. That was a direct violation of the Constitution. We have a right to petition government for the redress of grievances. And when they say, no, you don't, without amending the Constitution, without we the people saying, yeah, we don't need that right anymore, then we actually have an absolute tyrannical government that is dictating to us what we are going to do. And this is only the tip of the iceberg, folks. America has been in the sights of the globalist, and America has been in the sights of evil ever since our founding, ever since the beginning. And I've told you that the English crown is culpable. They are involved. The crowns of the world are involved. The Bible tells you that the crowns of the world are involved. But there are new, darker princes and princesses. There are new, darker kings and queens that have risen up, you know, from the dark recesses of the world, and they're called corporations. They're called banks. They're called institutions of money and greed and evil corruption, which is why we see the greed and evil corruption just oozing out of Bill Gates, out of Bezos, out of all of these people that are in positions today. You know, I look at Zuckerberg, and I don't get it. I mean, that kid, you know, and why he's in that position, you need to hear, and what we'll hope to do is have McGibbons back on here, and because he can tell you how Facebook and the technology behind that was stolen from him and by the government and given out so that they could implement this plan of, you know, social management and manipulation. And so this would be a very good conversation because I didn't dive into this enough. And and I will tell you that, you know, everything that's happening and all of these people that have been coming forth out of, you know, supposedly these recesses out of nowhere, like supposedly Bill Gates. I'm telling you, Bill Gates was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. And that goes back to the Vietnam War and Creedence Clearwater Revival. That was a saying because that's exactly how the privileged has been elevated and how the privilege has been protected in our society. Nevertheless, when we really look at the real problem, because I got to go back to this, when we really look at the problem, you know, there's way too many people that have become automatons for the party. And there's way too many people, there's way too many people that we have a regard for because they're lawyers, politicians, and what have you, that are leading the charge into the courts, and they're getting big dollars, millions of dollars, like with the CO2 pipeline. I am convinced that all of these law cases that are going into the court are just to bamboozle you to think, we have a real defense. We're going to win this because we're on the right side of this. You know, folks, babies had no chance in 1972 with Roe v. Wade. It went into the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court had no jurisdiction, and they had the opportunity to either do the right thing or the wrong thing, and they chose to do the wrong thing. So what makes us think that the Supreme Court, even though Trump may have picked the conservatives that are sitting on that, it's proven themselves that they are really not conservatives because they're not constitutionalists. We have to actually start changing our vernacular to understand conservative is just a word that we use to spin somebody that's controlled, that, you know, is more palatable, more amenable, more accessible, more agreeable to our paradigm, but they are not constitutional. You know, the question is, does America really want a Boy Scout president? Does America really want a president that's actually going to lead us out of this mess and preserve our liberty and preserve this nation? And actually, in so doing, keep the world from literally toppling over. Literally from toppling over. I do know that he's in charge. I do know that what he wants us to do is to do and to fight to the end for what's right. So when I look at these other paths that most of us are fighting, you know, in these myopic grassroots like the anti-abortion, the gun rights movements, all of these conservative movements, and I can tell you some of these bigger ones, the John Birch Society, Tactical Civics, Eagle Forum, they're either disarrayed for a reason so that they can't get their acts together, or they are absolutely controlled opposition. And whether the leadership even knows, and in some cases, there's no doubt in my mind, the leadership does know. I've had leaders tell me, the leaders of the organizations tell me that they are tied to their funding. They cannot go or change their scope or go out of scope. In other words, this is what we're going to do, and this is all we can do. And when I look at Tactical Civics, they cannot and will not save the Constitution. I would be happy to have, it doesn't have to be a debate. I think it should be just a friendly discourse to say, okay, so how can you force the federal government and how do you force your state government into compliance? And when they say through, you know, these grand juries, and when you say the militia, that doesn't get you there. It just won't get you there. What has to happen is we actually have to use petitions and we actually have to hold our public servants accountable, because I'm going to tell you, until you start holding your public servants accountable, you won't even get a common law grand jury. What'll end up happening, if you go down the Tactical Civics way, you're actually going to find, you're going to beg a physical altercation, a deadly force altercation, because you are not following the law. Tactical Civics is not using a representative government, a Republican form of government that has been instituted under this Constitution. It's the same thing with nullification and what the John Birchers are telling you. This is why we actually bring these things up. The sovereign citizen movement, because see, actually, the Tactical Civics is a very appealing direction out of all of these different paths, the tactical civics is a very appealing because it aligns with the doctrine of magistrates. It aligns with this, you know, authority, this magical authority in one person instead of our Republican form of government. Either the Constitution was actually ratified and we instituted a new government, or we still have the king in charge. Now, even though the king has undermined our Constitution, you can't refute the fact that that Constitution was ratified by all states, and every state coming into the Union obligated themselves to support that Constitution. So, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to listen? And because the reality is, the only reason we're in this position today, the only reason Biden is actually standing up there, is they're getting away with murder. They're getting away with violating the Constitution in every facet, or at least in enough facets to where they have obtained full control. And the only way we can start breaking through is by we, the people, demanding compliance. You have to start. You have to start getting involved. Now, the beautiful thing is, and we had this meeting yesterday where we were actually talking about what we were doing. And my initial, so let me just kind of back out. As I look at what we really need to do is we need to have a petition for every violation. But I also have to rationally look and say, you know what? I don't think we really do need that. And let me tell you why. Because as you start presenting, as you start going through these constitutional arguments regarding whether we can be involved in the UN or not, we prove that we can't. Whether they can allow, whether Congress can actually allow the federal government to allow this invasion across our borders or not. And we prove that they can't. They have to repel it. They're actually responsible of not only stopping it, but repelling it. Can they even have the Department of Transportation? So we've gone through enough of these arguments to where I honestly can say, you know, as I point to the color-coded Constitution and all of these violations, I honestly believe that we're getting close. When we get about 30 petitions, we may not need all of the other petitions done. What we may only have to do is complete the table of tyranny. Now, let me explain to you what this table of tyranny is. This table of tyranny is a spreadsheet that goes through on one tab all of the direct violations that you will find in the color-coded Constitution. Every single highlight is explained in this table, right? And so we go through and we explain, okay, this is what it says, this is how it was defined, and this is what's supposed to happen, this is what we need to do. So in the table of tyranny, it's kind of creating the theses that Martin Luther created back in the 1500s when he tried to correct the Catholic Church. Come to find out, he created a movement of the Reformation of Christianity to start leading us towards the true gospel. I mean, Martin Luther clearly stated that he was not creating that gospel. And as a matter of fact, who was it? It was Sir Isaac Newton. Sir Isaac Newton in the Revelations, as a matter of fact, these documents are actually, at least this particular book, is on, I want to say it's on the Take Action page, but I'm going to go to the Constitutional Articles page because I believe that we'll find the Revelations as a book on here. And so let me see here, because I'm going through it really quick. And so So as I'm looking at it, I believe it's on here. I'm going to just actually go to the very bottom because I think you'll find it at the very bottom. When I come back, I'm going to tell you where you can find this Sir Isaac Newton book on the website. It's a PDF, and it's worth reading because this is where Sir Isaac Newton basically says that the angelic ministry that's talked about in Revelations hasn't occurred yet. And even Martin Luther referred to the fact that he wasn't implying that this movement was creating that. He was only trying to take Christianity closer to the true gospel of Christ. We'll be right back after this.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so I did find it, and it is on the Constitutional Articles page. You just go all the way down to the very bottom. Let me just kind of walk through some of these documents and why they're there. The very bottom document, the Circle of Protection, actually exposes how the Christian churches... Go look at this signatory page. The Christian churches in America, these are the churches that basically said, we're committed to growing the government welfare system and the TEAT to ensure your dependency on government. And this is an indictment because they've abdicated their responsibility of taking care of your welfare. In other words, the churches are the ones that really should be actually tending to their parishioners. The government was never designed that way. When we get into the cod fishery bounties, I will marry this to this document for you so that you can hear what Madison says, and then you can understand why what he said was so important. And if you're looking for the conspiracy theory Bible, the first book written that I know of that talked about this global conspiracy, the modern day conspiracy as it was unfolding. The book you want to read is The Proofs of a Conspiracy Against All the Religions and Governments of Europe. And this was written by John Robison. And this was back in, 1798. And inside this book, I actually cited this gentleman for exposing Adam Weishaupt's plan of the Illuminati and what they were doing. Now, everybody will tell you the Illuminati was just short-lived and, you know, that all just went away because everybody woke up. I'm here to tell you that was the biggest lie. That was one of the greatest lies they successfully got everybody to start telling everyone. It's almost like another huge lie that we're living with is the fact that the original 13th Amendment was scrubbed out of the record books of America. And there is a reason why they got rid of that, because a person needed Congress's approval if you were a lawyer in the Bar Association, if you're a part of the bar, in other words, if you're a part of this nobility title, an esquire, then you can't be a public servant. And actually, they say you can't even be a citizen. That was huge. That really drew the line. And this is one of the reasons why, after the Organic Act, and why we've got to go through the Organic Act with you, but after the Organic Act, all of these things really started rapidly happening, transforming America into this perverse perspective of racism, racists, and so forth. The twist towards racism really actually began in the 1800s, when more and more people that had the the money, old money, the plantation money, and they were able to start invoking and dividing us over slavery and racism, because that, as Thomas Sowell points out, slavery didn't create it. It was a contributor to the fact. And so anyway, the next book on here is the Open Society Institute. That's George Soros. The next one, which is another standard that every person should read. The framers actually read this, The Republic by Plato. And then the next one is The Color-Coded Constitution. The next one is The Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith, or An Inquiry into the Nature and Causes of the Wealth of Nations. This is a must-read if you want to understand the free market, even if you want to understand government. I mean, Adam Smith just states, you know, founded logic and founded fact of what, how government functions and so forth. Anyway, the next one, all of these are just, if you listen to the framers, almost all of these books, other than, you know, I should say the conspiracy one, not, but this Adam Smith, the Plato's Republic, and the next one, The Two Treatises of Government by John Locke, that was a standard as well. And another one, and this is the one I was looking for. This is Thomas Jefferson's pivotal book, why he decided not to be directly associated with organized Christianity anymore. Because Sir Isaac Newton basically belts out in this book, I'll give you a little history behind this. The book's title is Observations Upon the Prophecy of Daniel and the Apocalypse of St. John. In this book, Sir Isaac Newton actually commits heresy. And at the time, if you commit heresy, you're to be dug up. If it is to be discovered within 6 years of your death, you're to be dug up and burned in effigy. And I guess, there's just enough of the body that, you know, it's worth digging up and making them feel better. I don't know why they had that law. But it was so much, and it was one of those paradigms that it was a real violation of the sanctity of the spirit and the body to disturb, you know, a person lying in rest. And so Sir Isaac Newton gave this book to his nephew. He had no kids. He was a lifetime committed to science and the ministry of God for the nation of France. And so, for the monarch, I should say, but this book was written and handed to his nephew, and he told his nephew, don't print it, because this will actually, you know, in this book, I commit heresy. Don't print this until 6 years after I die. And so that's exactly what his nephew did. He followed, you know, his uncle's wishes and printed this book. And in this book is where Sir Isaac Newton basically comes out. And Sir Isaac Newton was really highly revered by Thomas Jefferson and many of the framers. But in this book, he basically said that angelic ministry had not occurred, where the angel with the everlasting gospel to be preached hadn't come yet. So I believe this is when it was like 16, 15 years old when Thomas Jefferson read this. And at that point in time, he made a decision that shaped the rest of his life. And that decision, you would think, after suffering a couple of times over that decision, he still maintained his position, and he defended his position with John Adams in the private letters after both of their presidencies, as they started healing their wounds and actually communicating. Interestingly enough, with the relationship that Thomas Jefferson had with Abigail Adams, he was never able to heal. He never could get her to forgive him. For, you know, the perceived sins that he committed in her eyes. But anyway, this is where he actually bears his soul of his testimony of Jesus Christ. And he explains why he did what he did. If you want to judge him, I care not to judge any man of where their convictions are. I'll leave that to them and their maker. wherever your convictions are, whether you be Christian or whatever, that's between you and our Creator. But when I look at what Thomas Jefferson did, and I see people, you know, claiming he's this, that, or the other thing, this man was so unique. He was such an outlier. He doesn't fit any mold. And so the only way, and as a matter of fact, every person I know that has actually started reading through those letters and tried to do that analysis has never come out and said he was definitively anything. He was an outlier. And so he had a very unique perspective, and he was just a very powerful man. The other man that is an enigma to most is James Madison. But anyway, as I go through these other books, there's the Thomas Jefferson's Notes on Virginia that's up here. This was probably the most prolific, most popular book written by an American author of its time, you know, from the beginning of America to that time. In other words, this was the number one selling book of all time when it was published. And I think it was 1784, somewhere in there. And actually was cited during the Federalist Papers. Now, the Fabian Philosophy of the American Civil Liberties Union is also another really good book, or I should say an article, because it's only five pages. But the Law of Nations by Vattel is up there as well. That's another really must read. The Communist Manifesto, all 68 pages, where Engels and Marx basically commit to destroying the family and to basically send America into the abyss of evil, or not America, the world. The next one is Common Law by Bacon. I mean, these are standards, folks. These are standard books that are available to you in PDF. And if you actually have an application, a lot of people do. I don't have any of that crap. But you can actually have these books read to you as you're driving along or what have you. The next one is the Memorial of the State Constitutional Convention of the Territory of Wyoming, praying the admission of that territory as a state to the Union. This is where they basically sidestepped the federal government in admitting them into the Union, and how they basically, you know, wiggled their way like a camel's nose into the tent. That's how Wyoming came into the Union. The next book, which is very critical, and in this book you'll actually prove that the 13th Amendment that I told you about earlier, this book actually proves that the 13th Amendment in whenever it was, I think this was written in 1872, 71. It was in the 1870s when this book was written, and it was included. The 13th Amendment was included in the publication of this book because it was still the law of the land. They did research and they basically pulled in everything. At that point in time, there was this huge dispute. This is where everybody was trying to actually get rid of the 14th Amendment. And so they didn't know whether the 14th Amendment was legitimate or not. So at that point, they did not include it. I'm here to tell you, folks, the 14th Amendment is not only illegitimate, it is a gift from the divine hand of providence as the one thing that actually protects us. It is the one thing that the Constitution is lacking, and it is ironic that the evil forces on both the conservative and the liberal sides have all basically taken aim at the 14th Amendment. As a matter of fact, those people who are trying to convince you with these godly, almost soothsaying, they're soothsaying sermons on the sovereign citizen movement. Those people, which I'm going to talk about in a minute here, those people will invoke the evils of the 14th Amendment, and they have no evidence. As a matter of fact, if you do the due diligence, you will find that the 14th Amendment was legitimately ratified. If you really do the due diligence and you look at the debates and you look at how fast this amendment formed and was passed through Congress in a matter of a couple of months, that was faster than the Bill of Rights. That's how important the 14th Amendment was, to ensure that we had the law on our side in protecting this nation from healing. We did not need Reconstruction. Reconstruction was unconstitutional. And it was one of those I'll just say the compromises that the radical Republicans allowed when they made a huge mistake in doing that. But I am here to tell you that the 14th Amendment was truly a godsend. Anyway, so the compiled laws actually gives you that. And then right above these books are my last session in 22, the year 2022 and the year 2023, you'll find the constitutional minutes of what I've sent out to the state legislators. Probably the most important one was my first in the last session of 2023, because I didn't do them this year. I'm just too busy. And that's a good thing. Getting busier and busier so that I can't produce things is, I guess, a good sign, because that means more and more people are getting active and working with, not me, but all these other organizations nationwide in trying to fight and support and take back this constitutional republic. So the point of this last, or this first of the last, which is January 23rd, 2023. Now, this today's show will be posted, but the January 23rd, 2023, in this constitutional minutes, I provide your state legislators the evidence of how the federal government for decades has been waging warfare tactics against we the people and our states. Now, you can't tell me that this is something that is just literally us against them. This is such a concocted and contrived, I'll just say, condition and situation that we're all in. There's no there's a great reason why we're all confused. Everybody has been taking advantage of government, and in so doing, they've been corrupting themselves. You got a neighbor that's got solar panels on his house, go shake his hand and say, hey, how does it feel to be a part of the corrupt government? And why this is critical. Let me just point this out, why that's important. Because if we go down this path, if we actually succeed, every person that has those solar panels, because they've actually got the corruption from. So when you really look at it, folks, and you go into a court of law and you're the recipient of some corruption kickback, some corrupt, you know, benefit because you went along and let them do this, you're going to find yourself legally liable and fully accountable. Even though the government itself, is not necessarily, only the corrupt members of government are accountable. The government itself, because it's being violated, or I should say the violators of our Constitution, the Constitution is not accountable for these things. In other words, as soon as we get the government in line with the Constitution, who do we get to start getting our pound of flesh? Well, I can tell you what, you know, Obama, Clinton, the Bushes, all those guys will be at the top of the heap, along with Gates, Buffett, and the rest of these guys. All of the billionaires of America will probably be scrutinized, and everybody that has basically been walking away from the trough of power with your hard-earned money, and I don't want to say that they're stealing, because had we had the system we were supposed to have, there wouldn't have been opulence in America. There would have been blessings. We would have actually been a very blessed society, and we were. We lived under some blessings, and we had a great taste of how life could be, but the whole time they were trickling. They were getting a stipend out of our backbone. They were getting a stipend of our blood out of us. And what Biden had basically stated in the State of the Union address was an indictment. It's an indictment of us and how we have allowed ourselves to be divided. There's not one person that is seen, heard, or alive today in America that has, you know, is standing on 2 feet and making a living, or at least should be responsible for their own life. I doubt that there's one person alive in America in that state of adulthood and responsible that's never heard the phrase, united we stand, divided we fall. And so I'm here to tell you that we are, as I say, the annals of history are being written every day. They're being written by the revisionists as they work to try to manipulate what is being perceived, to spin it into the narrative that is necessary. But it is also being written by those in heaven that what is happening, everybody will be held accountable. The decisions we make will be held accountable. And though Mason was the one, and this goes back to the Constitutional Convention, as Mason was the one that basically, called out the political compromise of allowing slavery to persist in America based on states' will, based on how the state foreordained themselves. And because it persisted in America, he basically said, every slave owner is a petty tyrant. And because God can't punish nations and states in heaven, he will punish these nations and these states. And as I look at that, and I look at what happened, and we go through this, and we actually prove that the Constitution was eradicating slavery, but it was slow enough to give the evil people the ability, position, and compromise in, creating the Missouri Compromise and all of these other things that actually pushed us down this path of continuing slavery and actually forcing us into the Civil War. The sanctity of the Constitution was paid for twice by the spilling of blood, by the Revolutionary War and by the Civil War, and it still wasn't done. And as a matter of fact, I believe that we're now being punished, and the punishment is full on. We either start humbling ourselves and actually acknowledge. I mean, I'm not telling you to change your religion. I'm not telling you to find Jesus in the Constitution. I am telling you that the framers have told us that that document was inspired by the divine hand of providence. If you can refute what they said, if you can refute what George Washington proclaimed in the first proclamation of Thanksgiving, if you can refute that when there was not one of those men that called for that proclamation, it was unanimous by Congress, and Washington didn't even bat an eye. They knew that the divine hand of providence had blessed this nation and these people at this time to establish the foothold of liberty for the world. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that if you can refute that, then great. But I know you can't. There's no source document that can actually refute it. So the reality is, either we live and abide by that inspired document of how we govern ourselves. The Constitution is scripture not for the salvation of mankind, but for the governance of the world. It was his plan of globalism, and it shines brightly. It is what shines brightly. It's not the idea of liberty. It is the Constitution that will shine the light of liberty in every nation if the people are willing to live under the concept, under this literally concept of this Constitution. When I go to Mobius Strip Press, and I actually look at one of my citations out of my first book. I only do this not to bore you, but I do this to basically state what the Constitution delivers, because it delivers an enlightened civil society. When we look at civil society and the reasons why civil societies have actually been able to ascend to a point before they fell. Anybody, archaeologist or what are those people that study societies and people, starts with an A. But anyway, historians, those folks have proven that while a civil society is maintaining civility, it ascends. As soon as it starts serving itself, As soon as it starts becoming selfish, prideful, what have you, it begins its rapid descent. And though this was the little snippet that I shared, or this is actually out of my book, Whose Constitution Is It Anyway? We the People, Whose Constitution Is It Anyway? Civil society is wholly dependent upon the symbiosis between the fundamental principles of liberty, those fundamentals being free agency, responsibility, and accountability. When these principles are balanced and in harmony with the individual citizens, in other words, we're all willing to be accountable, we're all willing to be responsible, and we're all willing to control our free agency to not harm others or ourselves. Then, when they're in balance and harmony with the individual citizens, then liberty can then act as a catalyst in elevating synergy within the community and society. These synergies will lead to stronger spiritual well-being, greater productivity, and improved health and development of wealth. Who would not want to live in an enlightened society? Who would actually just say, who would scoff at the idea of living under that enlightened society? We're going to be faced with choices, folks, and I mean those choices are rapidly descending upon us. I fear that Satan is going to offer us eternal life. I fear that, you know, this Antichrist is going to give you an offer you can't refuse. The Bible tells us he will actually deceive the world. Look at everything that's happening. They're starting to actually tell us, you know, hey, there's some bad things that we're starting to notice out in space. Why is it that we're monitoring space so heavily now? Why is it that we're being programmed with these movies of, you know, spatial wars and attacks and invasions? Go look at the calamities that are coming out of Hollywood. These are B-rated movies or what have you. Folks, this is all a part of the propaganda and the preparation. Be prepared. Go read Matthew 24 and be prepared for that time when, if you're up on your rooftop, you're out in the field or what have you, that you know what to do when you see that sign. Because how we respond will determine where we end up. And I'm going to tell you that what Biden is offering is he's offering to lead us down the wrong path. I don't see any president, but Biden cannot persist. We know that that man is evil, and I hate to say it, but we have nothing but choices to make. What is the right choice? I mean, we're getting too close to this presidential election, and America is ignoring these problems. Because we have to have our populist. We have to have this populist government. And I'm just telling you, we're strapped onto a rocket. It's actually a missile. It's being guided by very evil people. A rocket, you just launch it and you just hope it lands in the direction you pointed it. But we're on a missile. And if we actually take the fortitude and the time to stand up and actually engage and hold our public servants accountable, I believe the divine hand of providence can actually right the ship of America. I believe that we could be in a completely different situation than the rest of the world. There's probably a reason why the Bible doesn't speak too much about the United States. Gog, Magog, we're just not in there. Folks, we have some decisions to make, and these are the times that worry most men's souls. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.